The scripture this morning is taken from the Old Testament book, the prophet Isaiah, chapter 43, verses 1 through 3. But now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you says, do not be afraid. Does that sound familiar? For I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Well, good morning. Again, welcome to the Living Water Church. Today we're continuing our teaching series that we began last week on Easter called I Need a Miracle. And during this series, we're going to look at and study some of the most incredible miracles of Jesus that we find in the Bible and just discovering how we can experience Jesus' extraordinary power in our lives as well. So today, I encourage you to go ahead and find your message notes. And as you do that, with the particular theme that we have today is we're looking at what do you do when you feel like you're sinking. And as we get started, I want you to think about that. Have you ever been in an experience where you felt like you were sinking, where you felt like you were going underwater, where no matter what you did, you just couldn't seem to keep your head above the water? About 20 years ago, I had the opportunity to go on a youth mission trip to the Bahamas. And there, the teens, they were working with the churches there in the Bahamas, and they were doing VBS programs, and then we were also working on a couple of church buildings. But also, on their fun day, we went out on a boat and we went snorkeling. And I imagine you're probably familiar with snorkeling, where the idea is you're supposed to float on top of the water and you have goggles on so you can see the fish and you can see the coral. And then you have this snorkel that's coming out of your mouth so that you can breathe while your eyes are in the water. And so the day that we went out, there was a couple of problems that I had with this whole snorkeling thing. The first one was the water was a little bit more choppy than normal, and so I was kind of struggling with that. And then, for whatever reason, I was struggling to float. You know, my body just kept wanting to sink, and so I was taking on a lot of water, and I was getting a little frustrated with this whole thing. And to make things worse, there were a few junior high boys and girls close to me that were having no problems at all, like they were born in the water. And then there was this guy who's like 95 years old, and he wasn't having any problems either. But things just were not working well for me. And so finally I decided, you know what, I'm going to give up on the whole snorkeling thing. I'm just going to take a deep breath, and I'm going to go down and look at the coral. So I took a big breath, and I went down to the coral. And as I got nice and close to the coral, all of a sudden, a 20-foot eel just stuck his head right out at me, gave me a complete heart attack. Well, probably wasn't 20 feet, but it felt like he was 20 feet when he stuck his head out, and I kind of panicked, and so I kind of got disoriented about where is up and where is down, and I kind of struggled until finally I got to where I was, my head out of the water. And when I surfaced, I decided, you know, I don't think this snorkeling thing was meant for me. But if you've ever gone through that feeling of feeling like you're sinking underwater, that's a scary feeling. Or maybe right now you feel like you're sinking because of something else that's going on in your life. You know, there's something that's happened and you feel afraid and you feel like you're about ready to go underwater. Maybe you recently lost a job and the bills are just piling up and you just feel like you're drowning financially. Or maybe that relationship you thought was going to last forever is coming to an end. And you're brokenhearted and you're losing hope and you feel like you're sinking. Maybe that job that you have is just becoming something that you dread every day where you just can't keep up with the demand, and they just don't treat you well and you want to quit but you can't. And I don't know, maybe life has just become too complicated. and you're constantly feeling stressed, you're constantly feeling overwhelmed, and you have no strength left, well, what do you do when you feel like you're sinking and you need a miracle? Well, today we're going to look at an incredible miracle from the Bible, Jesus walking on top of the water and saving one of his disciples, Peter, who was sinking beneath the waves, and how Jesus can work a miracle in your life when you need it most, when you feel like you're sinking. So we find this miracle in Matthew chapter 14. We're going to start with verse 22. I put the whole passage there on your notes if you want to follow. And so let me just kind of set the scene for you. Jesus has just performed one of his most famous miracles where he's fed over 5,000 people with just five rolls and a couple fish. It was just an incredible miracle, and he'd been teaching all day long. He'd been healing all day long, and now it's getting late, and Jesus and his disciples are completely exhausted. That's where we pick up our story in Matthew chapter 14, and it says, immediately after this, so after they gathered the extra food from what was left over of the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake. Now, this lake is called the Sea of Galilee, but it's a freshwater lake. And so he tells them, get in the boat, go across the lake, and it continues. And so while he sent the people home, and after sending them home, Jesus went to the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. And so after this long day, Jesus has his disciples, and he sends them away, and he's going to get away to talk to God the Father. And there's a lesson to be learned right here. When you're exhausted, when you're at the end of your strength, this is the time to take time to pray. Because prayer is what renews your strength. More than binging Netflix or scrolling through Instagram or playing games on your phone, prayer brings strength into your life, and that's what Jesus did. Now, we don't know exactly what Jesus prayed about, but my guess is, among other things, that Jesus was praying for his disciples because while he was praying, there was something going on with them. So we pick up the story, verse 24. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble, far away from land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. Now, my understanding is that storms here can be rather vicious because the Sea of Galilee, it sits about 700 feet below sea level, which means it's warmer. And so when the cold air comes off the mountains and that meets that warm air from the sea, from that lake, it can have some quick-forming, violent storms. And so that's what's happening here. So picture this, okay? The disciples have sailed into the middle of a quick-forming, dangerous storm. And by this time, it's dark and they can't see. They're cold, they're soaking wet, you know, water is coming down on them, the waves are hitting them, and no matter how hard they fight, they just can't get to the shore. And depending upon what part of the Sea of Galilee they were in, it's between 4 and 8 miles across. And so they're in trouble, and they're fighting for their lives. Now, it's important to note here that even if you're a follower of Jesus, he doesn't prevent every storm from coming into your life. Although I imagine you might be surprised at how many he does keep out of your life, but followers of Jesus go through storms just like everyone else. God allows them to come into our lives because storms are laboratories of growing our faith. Okay, so remember, Jesus went through storms, so if you want to become like Jesus, you can't do it if the seas in your life are always calm. Growth happens in the storm. And so we're going to come back to that and talk about that principle in a moment. So back to the disciples. It's dark. They can't see. You know, it's the end of an exhausting day. They're already tired. I mean, isn't that how it usually is? Storms never wait for an inconvenient time, do they? I mean, they always seem to come at the worst possible time. When you're exhausted, when you're broke, when you're heartbroken, when you're sick, when you've got way too many things to do, and it shows up out of nowhere. So going back to our story, now verse 25, it says about 3 o'clock in the morning. Now don't miss this. The disciples, they left the shore while it was still daylight, while it was, you know, it wasn't dark yet. You know, they probably left somewhere between 5 or 6 o'clock in the afternoon, so now it's 3 a.m. They've probably been battling for their lives in the middle of the storm on the Sea of Galilee for at least 9 hours. And I'm sure they were at the end of their rope. They were probably thinking, you know, we're going to sink. And then this happens, back to our story. Jesus came toward them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" Now, I don't know about you, but I probably would have come to the same conclusion that they came from. It's dark, it's raining, you're already afraid, and then you see this figure floating out over the waters towards you. Now the disciples are really freaking out. They think there's a ghost on the water coming right for them. They're about to drown, and then look what happens next, verse 27. But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage. I am here." Because listen, if you feel like you're sinking right now, emotionally or physically, financially, spiritually, if you're going through that kind of an experience, then I encourage you to say these words that Jesus spoke to his disciples of, "Don't be afraid. Take courage. Jesus is here." In fact, let's just say those few words right there, right up there on that screen. Let's just say that together. Ready? "Don't be afraid. Take courage. Jesus is here." You know, I think maybe most of us believe that. But let's just say it one more time, just to kind of gear it up in our hearts to remember this. Let's say it one more time. "Don't be afraid. Take courage. Jesus is here." You know, Jesus may not come to you in the storm at the time when you think he should, but he does come when you need him the most. So Jesus here waited until the darkest part of the night, when the disciples' strength and hope was running out, when they thought for sure they were going under, and he showed up to keep them from sinking. And then one of his disciples, Peter, took courage. He does something crazy here in verse 28. It says, "Then Peter called out to him, 'Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water.' 'Yes, come,' Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus." Now, I don't know about you, but I think I would have stayed in the boat. But Peter has the faith to get out of the boat when no one else would. And then this miracle happens. Peter actually walks on the water. And, you know, this raises an important question. What is required for a miracle to happen? What are the circumstances that have to be present before a miracle can occur? As we find it in this story, that there are 5 requirements that have to be present before a miracle can happen in your life. And the first requirement is a need. You have to have a need. Jesus' miracles always met a real need. And then the disciples here, they had a huge need. They thought they were going to sink. They thought they were about ready to die. So they had a need. The second requirement for a miracle is obedience. God gives an instruction, and even though it might not make sense in the moment, even though it might even sound crazy, the person obeys. And because Peter obeyed, he experienced an incredible miracle in his life. And so I have to have a need. I have to obey. And then the third one is I need faith. I need to be able to say, "God, I believe that you will meet my need. And so I'm going to obey you. I'm going to step out on faith." And that's what Peter did. He didn't think twice about walking out on towards Jesus on the waves. But I also want you to notice that it wasn't a foolish faith. Peter asked Jesus if he could get out of the boat before he jumped out of the boat. Peter's faith was based on what Jesus told him to do. You know, sometimes we kind of just expect God to work a miracle in our lives based on what we want. But understand, miracles don't come into our lives based on what we are wanting. They're based on what God wants in our obedient and faithful response to him. So for a miracle to happen, there has to be a need. We have to respond in obedience. We have to move in faith. And then the 2 final requirements for a miracle are prayer and receptivity. Prayer and receptivity. And we find both in Peter. Back to our story, verse 30. But when he, talking about Peter, saw the strong winds and waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" Now keep in mind, as long as Peter's eyes was focused on Jesus, he was able to walk on top of those waves. But when Peter took his eyes off of Jesus, began to notice what's happening around him, began to see the waves and see the wind, that's when he began to sink. And listen, when your eyes are on Jesus, when you're moving toward him, you can walk on top of the waves that are in your life. You can walk on top of any storm that's coming at you that might hit you. But when you take your eyes off of Jesus and you begin to notice your circumstances and begin to be overwhelmed by them, that's when you begin to sink. And that's where Peter found himself. But when Peter started to sink, he started to pray. Remember the fourth requirement for a miracle is prayer. So let me just say this. You're never going to see a miracle in your life apart from prayer. Prayer is integral to miracles. And Peter had the presence of mind to pray to Jesus before he went under that water. And Peter prayed the most powerful one-word prayer that you could ever pray. You know, when you're in a circumstance where you need help right away, that's what Peter prayed for. He basically said, "Help, Jesus." He prayed for help. But notice, he didn't call out to the disciples in the boat for help. He didn't say, "Hey, Matthew and John, would you come help me?" No, he called out to Jesus. Because he knew Jesus, the one who was already walking on the water, was the only one who could save him. And when Jesus reached out to Peter, notice this, Peter, he didn't like slap his hands away and say, "No thanks, I got this one myself. You know, I think I can take care of this." No, when Jesus put his hand out, Peter grabbed it. He was receptive. And that's the final requirement for a miracle. You have to open yourself up to what your need is for God. You have to be receptive. So Peter took his eyes off of Jesus, and he saw the scary situation he was in, and he let fear grab a hold of his heart, and he began to sink. And that's why Jesus asked Peter, as he's pulling him out of the water, "Why did you doubt me?" Would you circle that word, doubt? The word translated doubt means standing with uncertainty between two ways. That's what doubt means, standing with uncertainty between two ways. It's being double-minded. Peter started out with great faith with his eyes on Jesus and then began to be uncertain when he saw the storm and the waves and how unstable they were. And let me tell you, you can't focus on your circumstances and Jesus at the same time. So doubt grabbed a hold of Peter's heart. But I also want you to notice that Jesus didn't let Peter sink because of his lack of faith. He took him by the hand and pulled him from the water. So our story continues in verse 32. When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshiped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. Now maybe like the disciples, you're in the middle of a storm right now. And you've been fighting, you've been struggling. But right now it just feels like your head is barely above the water. And it just feels like any moment you could go under. The debt, it's getting higher. That last job interview was just a flop. Your relationship, it's on life support. That cancer has come back. And you feel like you're sinking. And you feel like giving up. And you need a miracle. And the good news is no matter what the problem is or what the storm you're facing now, Jesus hasn't forgotten you. And he loves you. And he's coming to you in your storms to keep you from sinking beneath the waves. So from this amazing story of miracles, I want to show you today what you do when you feel like you're sinking. And the first step is, and I encourage you to write this in, remember that Jesus is with me. Remember that Jesus is with me. And in most of these things, it starts with setting your mind in the right thinking pattern to remember. I need to remember that Jesus is with me in this storm. It's interesting that the disciples were never alone in the storm, even though they felt like they were alone. And the same is true for you. You may feel alone, but you're never truly alone. Our next verse is found in Matthew 28, verse 20. These are the words of Jesus where he says, "And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Jesus promises to be with you always. He'll never leave you. And maybe you're thinking, well, okay, what difference does that make? Okay, well, just think about it for a moment. When you feel like you're sinking, if you know without a doubt that Jesus is right there with you, that the one who could walk on top of the water is right beside you in the same room with you, wouldn't that give you courage and strength to keep moving forward, to keep fighting? Of course it would. And if you're a follower of Jesus, you need to know this. He is with you. He is in you through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. And he has never forgotten about you. In fact, Jesus is right now in heaven praying for you. I mean, look at this promise from Romans chapter 8, verse 34. It says, "For Jesus Christ died for us and was raised to life for us, and he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us." Jesus sees our need, and he's in control of it all. And he was with you before the storm, he's been with you in the storm, and he's even with you when you feel like you're about to go under. So remember, no matter how scary or hopeless your circumstances may feel right now, you're not alone. The one who walks on top of water is right with you, and his hand is outstretched to you. All you have to do is take it. And when you grab a hold of his hand, then here's what happens next there in your notes, and that is to receive. Remember, then receive. Receive God's peace when I feel like I'm sinking. Remember Jesus is with you, and then receive God's peace when I feel like I'm sinking. Now, it's interesting. When lifeguards are teaching young children how to swim, one of the first things they teach is that when you feel like you're drowning, when you feel like you're about ready to go under, roll over onto your back. And you know what that does? It keeps you, it helps you become more buoyant, but it also gives you some time to calm down, right? It gives you time to catch your breath, to think about what you're going to do next. Most importantly, it keeps you from flailing your arms and sinking. Because unfortunately, many people feel like they're drowning. Most people choose panic over peace. And they grab for anything or anyone that'll keep them afloat. And so that's what we tend to do when it feels like we're sinking in life. We flail. We panic. We look for the quick fix. We try to medicate our pain and our fear with things like alcohol or drugs, or sometimes we try to escape our problems with entertainment or pornography, or sometimes we make a bad decision in a relationship because we think this person is going to save us, or at least we won't be alone in all of it. But there's only one person that Peter called out to when he was drowning, and that was Jesus. You see, Peter, he had just seen Jesus feed over 5,000 people with 5 dinner rolls and 2 fish. And he was watching Jesus walk on the water, and he had just walked on the water on himself. And because Peter knew that Jesus was greater than the storm, he knew where to turn. And that's the key to finding peace in a storm, trusting who Jesus is, and then calling out to him in prayer. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, Paul writes this about when you're worried and when you're scared, when you feel like you're sinking. Paul writes, "Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything." Would you underline that phrase, "pray about everything"? Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you'll experience God's what? Peace. That's when you experience God's peace. Circle that word, peace. You'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. And his peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So when Peter was sinking, his first response was prayer. He said, "Save me, Lord." And when the thunder rolls and the rain falls and the waves are watching over you and you feel like you're going to go under, don't panic. Pray. Like someone who's rolling over on their backs to catch their breath. When it feels like you're drowning, don't panic. Instead, pause and pray. Slow your mind. Slow your heart. Breathe and talk to God. Okay? Let God take your hand and replace your panic with his peace. And let him replace your fear with faith. Now, there's one more thing that we need to just kind of say is that if you are constantly finding yourself sinking and in panic, you know, if it's just kind of this pattern in your life where you're constantly going through these challenges where you feel like you're sinking and you're panicking, then maybe you need to learn how to swim better. Okay, because if you're always going from one crisis to another, yes, pray, ask God to help you, but also you need to learn to maybe make some wiser choices so you don't end up in the same crisis over and over again. You're not helpless. You need to get into the Bible and study it daily, pray daily, be in church on Sunday, get in a growth group, build those spiritual muscles so you can avoid unnecessary storms. And then here's the next step to take when it feels like you're drowning, and that is recognize that God's plan is to grow my faith. When I feel like I'm sinking, we need to recognize that God's plan is to grow my faith. You may have been surprised by the storm, but God wasn't. You know, when you get that call and you're on your way to the office that you've just been laid off, you might not have seen that coming, but God did. When that doctor calls and tells your heart has a problem and we need to have surgery right away, you might not have seen that storm coming, but God did. Storms are common to everyone. But many Christians, we just kind of have this mistaken idea that obedience to God's will produces smooth sailing always, that somehow the better Christian you are, the easier life is going to be. But Jesus says something very different. And John chapter 16, verse 33, look at what Jesus says. He says, "I told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have it safe and easy." Wait, that's not what it says, right? That's what we want it to say. You know, that's what I wanted it to say, but that's not what it says. It says, "Here on earth, you'll have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world." Underline that phrase, "I have overcome the world." If you're not in a storm right now, there is one coming. I can guarantee it. But God allows you to go through storms for the same reason he allowed his disciples to go through their storm, because he wants to grow your faith. He wants to teach you to trust him in ways you have never have before. He wants to make you stronger. He wants to grow your character. But let's just be honest, some storms are our own fault. They come not because you're obeying Jesus, they come because you're disobeying Jesus. And these are storms of correction. When you've gotten off course and Jesus allows this storm to come into your life to get you back on track, that's a storm of correction. But then there are storms of perfection. Not storms of correction, but storms of perfection. You're not off course. You're doing everything right. But Jesus allows you to go through a storm to perfect your faith, to strengthen you, to make you better. I mean, that's the kind of storm that Peter and the disciples are going through right now. They were in the storm not because they were disobeying Jesus. They were in the storm because they had to obey Jesus. He was the one that told them to go across the lake. But the purpose of disciples' storm was to help them grow their faith. Because don't forget, it won't be long before Jesus will leave them. And they're going to have to face many storms without his physical presence there. And so Jesus is preparing them for the greater storms that they're going to have to face one day. Same is true for you and me. If you'll remember that Jesus is with you, if you'll call out to him for his peace and look for ways that God wants to grow you through the storm, you're going to end up being stronger and you're going to be wiser for future storms. And that leads us to the final step. of what to do when you feel like you're sinking, and that's rely on Jesus to calm my storm when I feel like I'm sinking. Rely on Jesus to calm my storm when I feel like I'm sinking. When Jesus saved Peter, and when they stepped back into the boat, the final miracle of this unforgettable day happened. The storm stops immediately. Jesus calmed the storm. Not only the storm of the sea, but also he calmed the storm that were in the disciples' hearts as well. Paul experienced something similar when he found himself in the middle of a major storm in his life. This was a few decades later, but Paul wrote this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, where he said, "We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure, and we thought we were never going to live through it. In fact, we expected to die." Have you ever been there? Where the storm is so big, you think, "I don't think I'm going to make it through this one." Well, Paul was there. But he did exactly what we're talking about today. Look at how it continues. "But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely on God who raises the dead." In other words, God was growing Paul's faith through those storms. And it continues. "And he did rescue us from mortal danger, and he will rescue us again. We have placed our confidence in him, and he will continue to rescue us." When Paul felt like he was sinking, he didn't rely on his own strength or wisdom. No, he chose to trust God. And God did for Paul what he had done for Peter. He reached out his hand and he rescued him. After that, Paul had faith that God would rescue him in the future. And because of this, Paul learned not to freak out about every storm that blew into his life. He didn't let them, be overcome by fear. And so Paul, if you look at Acts, he was in prison many times, and God rescued him every time until he didn't. The last time, Paul was in jail, and eventually he became a martyr. But he always kept his faith, hope, and trust in God's will. And I don't know what storm you're facing right now, but God does. And not only is God aware of the storm, but he's also with you in the storm. Not only does he save you from the storm, but he has the power to calm that storm for good. He can calm the wind and the waves. That storm that you're going through right now, it's not going to last forever. It will end one day, either in this life or in a worst-case scenario. You put your faith in Jesus, you become a Christian, maybe that storm lasts the rest of your life. But understand, when you go to heaven, that storm will end. It will not go with you to that next life. So no matter what, you can trust that God will calm that storm when you put your faith in him. That's why I think our next verse is so important. It's our key verse for today. It's found in Isaiah 43, beginning in verse 2. We heard Jan read the longer part of that passage where it says, "When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you, for I am the Lord your God." So what storm is scaring you right now? Why do you think God is allowing you to go through that storm anyway? Jesus is allowing you to go through your storm for the same reason he allowed his disciples to sail into the storm. He's wanting to grow our faith so that we can know that he is God and he can handle anything that we face. Jesus will come to you when you're sinking. He will walk on top of that storm, on top of the winds, on top of the waves to bring you the miracle you need. So my question for you is, will you turn to Jesus today? Will you take his hand that he's offering? Let's pray about it. God, thank you that we can know that you are with us in whatever the circumstances are in our life, whatever we're facing. Thank you for the promise of peace as I learn to trust you through the storms of life. Help us to see how you have grown our faith through the storms in the past that we have already gone through, and then how you're growing our faith right now through the storms that you're going through right here in this moment. And if you are going through a storm right now, and if you would like God to bring a miracle into your life to calm this storm, would you just pray these words in your heart that I'm going to pray out loud? If this is you and you would like to talk to God about it, maybe just say quietly in your heart and say, Father, you know the storms that I'm going through right now. And you know the fear that I'm struggling with. God, I can't see my way out. It's dark. I feel like I'm on my own. I'm being tossed and battered around. I'm struggling. But today I choose to turn to you. Thank you for being with me. Thank you for giving me your peace. Help me to stay focused on you, Jesus, and not on the wind and the waves surrounding me. Help me to see how you're using the storm to grow me. Father, today I'm praying the prayer that Peter prayed. Save me, Lord. God, I say it with urgency. I say it directed to you and to you alone. Save me, Lord. Help me not to doubt you, but to worship you instead of worry, to trust you instead of trembling, to pray instead of panicking. Open my life completely to you, Jesus. Be the captain of my ship and the Lord of my life. I pray this in Jesus' precious, powerful name. Amen.